Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20 and Matthew chapter number 3. We'll be preaching out of. Paul made a statement under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. He said, "For I am crucified with Christ."
Yes, sir.
I don't know if we understand that, but a crucifixion is something that's cruel.
Yes, sir.
And it's hard to deal with, and especially when it's personal. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
Before we pray, I want you to keep in mind the thought Paul said, the life that I now live in the flesh.
Yeah.
Amen. And by the way, we're going to spend a lifetime learning how. One day we'll be totally, completely like him. I'm glad that I have a nature that desires to be like him this morning.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you for your goodness and your grace and mercy. Lord, I ask you right now to help us all. And Father, I believe that only in light of the Lord Jesus and the conviction of the Spirit of God that we'll get anything today. And what we do get, help us to be mindful that you gave it to us. And you've taught us what we know. And I pray, God, today that that every one of us here want to live the life you want us to live. And Lord, I'm glad it's possible for us to be more like you all the time. And one day when we see, I shall see you, we'll be like you. Lord, we love you and thank you again for everything you've done and are doing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated if you would. I appreciate this morning, Brother Steve, he was preaching out of the, or teaching out of the Book of Kings, preaching on one of the greatest men in the Bible.
Yes, sir.
Elijah is known as the John the Baptist of the Old Testament.
Right.
The John the Baptist of the Old Testament, but we are living in the New Testament age. And I'm glad that God gave us Matthew chapter number 3 and spoke about this man. Now when John the Baptist came on the scene, remember this, there had not been a messenger or a message from God. The only thing that had come for years, for hundreds of years now, and all of a sudden, we find the birth of Christ took place.
Right, amen.
That was the only message. And Jesus did not say much. His ministry started after this man, John the Baptist, was born and was raised up.
Right.
He had a life that he had to learn how to live. And by the way, I believe if you approach life that way, that you need to learn how to live.
Yeah.
Paul said, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
And I want to say this morning, that all faith is based upon knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Faith cometh by hearing. In hearing by the Word of God, so you've got to have knowledge of what God says to have any faith that's worth anything. A lot of people base a lot of things on different things, but that's not real faith to us, as we are saved people that love the Lord. And I pray God would help you this morning as we read this text here. For here we find that John the Baptist, no doubt, was the bridge. Hey, listen, between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now remember this, we're living in the day of grace. Thank God for it. There's 9 different ages. I mean, the first age was the age of innocence. Adam and Eve were innocent. And then there was the age of consciousness. And this ended in judgment. In other words, man did that which he thought in his own eyes was right. But then there was the age of government. God took over. He said, what did he do? Well, he said, I'm going to run this show. Man's messed it up real good. And so I'm going to send a flood.
Right.
So he sent a flood. And then after the flood, we find the age of promise. And that's where the patriarchs lived, and you'll find a pretty well a good portion of the Old Testament there. But then there's the age of law. Ain't you glad? Now listen, this is the progression of the Bible. All of these things happened in order. He taught us about Adam and Eve first, the age of innocence. Then he comes and teaches us every step all the way through the Word of God. Now we're past the age of law. Now we're into the day and the age of grace. Ain't you glad? Because if you could read the Old Testament and read all the things that went on, you'd say, boy, I'm glad we're where we're at. Thank God for grace. Now you said, preacher, what's after this? Well, I'm not going to be here, but we're going to have the age of wrath. And it's coming. Then there'll be the millennial age.
Amen.
And then there'll be one more, and that'll be the ages to come.
Amen.
And by the way, thank God, you said, what's going to take? I don't care. I'm going to tell you something. It'll be a theocracy.
Yes.
He'll be running the whole show.
That's right. Amen.
So it don't really matter. It'll be right.
Yes, sir.
But until that takes place, until we leave this world, each one of us have to learn. And we should be learning how to live.
Amen.
Christianity, don't ever forget this, is a life.
Yes, sir.
If you want to sum it up, it's a life. It's the resurrected life of the Lord Jesus Christ that He gives us. We have the same life that He has. We are heirs of God. But we're also joint heirs. Now if you want to study that, study Romans 6, 7, and 8. And by the way, if you want to get a verse out of all three of them chapters, that's probably would help you the most if you'll get it, is in Romans 8, 2. And it said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We're under another law now. The law was never given to us, even though we respect it and we want to keep it, we desire it. That was God's way to teach us. Still is. The law's a schoolmaster. It'll bring you to Christ. But don't ever think that you've kept it. Don't even ever think that you could keep it. That was an impossibility. You had a nature, my friend, that was totally against it.
Right.
In Christ, we have a new life.
Amen.
Thank God it begins at the new birth.
Amen.
Now, I want to say this. We're living in a day that there's all kind of gospels being preached. I'm totally amazed. And the average Christian couldn't defend that calls themselves Christian, could not defend what they believe about the gospel against some heresy. They could not defend what they believe. You ought to be able to give to every man a testimony of the hope that's within you. And if you can't give that, how do you know what you've got then? These things are written that you may believe on the name of the Son of God and that you may know that you have eternal life.
Amen.
Thank God for this book.
Yes, amen.
Somebody said that I heard the other day you couldn't define the word heart. Well, you take Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And the Bible even says the Word of God being quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And it pierces and divides asunder the soul and the spirit. And is a discerner. Discerner of what? Of the heart. The thoughts and the intents of the heart. If you want to know what your heart is, ask yourself what you think. And by the way, do you realize he's talking about the Word of God there? The Word of God's quick and powerful. And if you want to know if your words or your thoughts or your intents are wrong, stay in the book.
Right.
That's all I can tell you. Stay in the book.
Amen.
By the way, if you're wrong, God will show you.
Right.
God the Holy Ghost has never failed to do His job.
Amen.
He can't fail.
Right.
And by the way, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. When God quickens things to you and makes them real to you, you ought to rejoice.
Amen.
But you ought to also want to go out and do them.
That's right.
John the Baptist was one of the greatest men that ever lived. And I remember the words of David as he gave to his son Solomon when he was on his deathbed. He said, "Son, show thyself a man."
Amen.
If there's ever a day we need some men.
Amen. Yes.
If there's ever a day we need some women.
Yep.
If there's ever a day we need some young people. I mean, these ain't days, my friend, that it's an easy thing to do.
Right.
There ain't nothing easy about Christianity.
Amen.
But everything about Christianity is right.
Amen.
God help us. And when I read about a man like, and I heard about Elijah this morning, and that rung my telephone, by the way, because John the Baptist was one that carried over, no doubt, as a stand. Elijah stood up and he was a strong stander, my friend. He ain't somebody that was a wimp about what he was doing.
Right.
He had weaknesses, and all men do, but we're talking about what he accomplished. David was a man after God's own heart, it says.
Yes,
the Bible said that Abraham, as I've studied these ages, the Bible said he was the friend of God.
Right.
I mean, those patriarchs say, I mean, when you read Hebrews 11, by the way, it ought to amaze you how much God gave to Abraham.
Amen.
How much space he wrote about that man and studied out. He gave Abraham, his son, and his son's sons, he gave them one verse. But Abraham, he gave much.
Yes, sir,
he left Ur of the Chaldees. He left a heathen nation. He was the first one of the Hebrew race. He's the one that God chose. He had never, by the way, you're talking about simplicity of faith. I mean, this man was raised a heathen in Ur of the Chaldees. They worshiped the moon. And here this man is listening to God. God speaks to him and he talks. I mean, takes off on a trail. Hey, listen, he didn't even know where he's going. He didn't have the faintest idea. And by the way, he never even received the promise himself that God had given him. But he believed it. And he passed it on.
Amen.
So there was Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, the patriarchs. Basically the ones that stood out and the ones that God used the most. But when I get to the Old Testament here, I mean the New Testament here, I can't keep from but drawing. If you look in the book of Isaiah, I mean there's a prophecy there in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 3 about this man coming. And it tells us that he was going to show up one of these days. And in verse number 1 of Matthew 3, he said, "And in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness," he said, "of Judea, and saying, repent ye," he said, "for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." By the way, I'll give you a good study. Do you realize the kingdom of heaven is only mentioned in the book of Matthew? All the rest of the times it's mentioned as the kingdom of God. You go study it. And figure out why and what the difference is. Don't come ask me. You study it. But it is only used in the book of Matthew. And the Bible said in verse number 2, it said, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah." He said, saying, he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. In this same John, he said his raiment, he said of camel's hair, and of a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. He said, then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea, and he said, in the regions round about Jordan, and were baptized of him, he said, in Jordan, confessing their sins. And he said in verse 7, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees, he said, come to his baptism. He said unto them, O generation of vipers, he said, who hath warned you, he said, to flee from the wrath to come? He said, bring forth therefore fruits meant for repentance. And think not, he said, to say within yourselves, he said, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able, he said, of these stones to raise up children, he said, unto Abraham. And now, he said, there also the axe is laid, he said, unto the root of the trees. And therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you, he said, with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I. And he said, whose shoes, he said, I'm not worthy to bear. He said, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge the floor. And he said, the garner, and gather, he said, the wheat, he said, unto the garner. He said, but he will burn up the chaff, he said, with unquenchable fire. I want to preach for a few minutes on God seeks men and women that'll serve him.
Amen.
And I still believe that's true in our day, because I'm not talking about half service in this case. And if you looked in Titus chapter 2, you'd find a statement there about the grace of God, the grace of God that bringeth salvation, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, teaching us. This grace teaches us. If grace don't teach you this, you got the wrong grace. The grace of God teaches you to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that you should live. That you should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Now if you look on down there in verse number 14, you'll find that he wants to make us a peculiar people. And I'm glad, thank God. I'm not, and I believe this is automatic. I believe it's natural to be different. By the way, you can make yourself anything. We got a lot of people that's trying to make themselves something. We need some God-made men.
Amen.
We need some God-made women. We need some God-sent preachers. God called preachers.
Amen.
By the way, something's wrong in this generation. The first message God ever gave to any preacher of his is the gospel.
Yes, sir.
And with all this preaching we're seeing today, I don't care if it's Joel Holstein, I don't care if it's Rick Warren, all this other crowd, I'm going to tell you something. You better evaluate things in light of the truth of the gospel.
Amen.
And anyone that says you can lose your salvation, for instance, is a liar according to the Scriptures.
Right. Amen.
Now I want to ask you something just simple, because I want to stay on this. But I do ask you to consider the thought, could you ever be unborn? Could you? I mean, could you? And he uses it, the example of a natural birth. But can you, even a baby that's sitting here in this room, could it ever be unborn? That's an impossibility. And by the way, if you've ever been born again, it's an impossibility to be unborn.
Right.
Now, you may not have never been born again. And you can believe that. By the way, we're saved by grace, but there's a vehicle.
Yeah, right.
that brings grace that people just don't want to consider. For by grace are you saved, but it's through faith. No other way. It's either by faith or nothing else. Not of works. Why? He said, because then you could tell me, God's saying this, He said, you could tell me that I owe you something. God don't owe you nothing. God don't owe any man anything. You'll never stand before God as a saved person. That's a great what? Throne judgment, you may stand as a lost person. But at the judgment seat of Christ, every person that's there will be there because of grace.
Amen.
And grace alone.
That's right.
And it won't be nothing. My glory, He said, I'll not give to another.
Amen.
I'd hate to be in the shoes, but remember this. Most people that claim Christianity today are Armenian in belief. If you took all that claims to be Christian, the word Christian's mentioned 3 times in the Bible. 3 times. And the devil, and I'm not against the word, I'm against the misuse of the word. I'm against the definition of the word. But do you realize that the word saint is mentioned over 100 times?
Amen.
In the New Testament. Do you realize the word disciple is mentioned over 200 times?
Amen.
In the New Testament.
Amen.
By the way, I'd rather be called a saint almost today, because if they're going to paint everybody with the same brush.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't want to be painted with their brush.
No.
I ain't the kind of Christian they are. I don't even want to be.
That's right.
But they've got to remember this, and this is the setup for the Antichrist.
Yep.
Regardless of what you believe, this group's a good Christian. 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 This group, every group's a good Christian, and every one of them believes something different. And we're living in a society that the young people do not want nothing to do with all this mass confusion.
Yeah.
Ain't that something?
Yes, sir.
And nobody seems to want to blow a trumpet anymore.
Yep.
Calling them a bunch of heretics.
Yeah.
By the way, the last day state of the church is the state of apostasy.
Yes, sir.
It's an apostate church. The Laodicean church, it says they knew not they were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. No doubt they were a church at the beginning, but they had been so infiltrated. Hey, they're taken over literally. The church, look what's happened in our day. Think about it. What a sad day. And by the way, when the Bible says, and somebody mentioned it, I think brother mentioned it, about examining yourself this morning. Paul had a concern because of what he saw in the life of those people.
That's right.
And he had every right to say it. He should have said it.
Yes.
He said, examine yourself to see whether Christ is in you, except you be reprobate.
That's right. Right.
One of the definitions of a reprobate is he's void of judgment. Have you ever tried to talk to people, and you can even show them out of the Bible what God says, and they still don't get it? The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, He spoke about the progression of sin. And by the way, you can see when you get down to where they change the truth of God into a lie. Do you realize there's no hope beyond that point? You can't be saved without the true Word of God. You can't be saved with a corrupted seed, Brother Hall. It's impossible. We're living in that day, Brother Shepherd. It's scary to me what people's believing today and call themselves Christian. Paul saw it in his day. God help preachers. God help mothers and daddies. God help husbands to see where their wives at. And I'm not talking about you being the judge, but remember this. God said, judge righteous judgment. And that book right there is righteous judgment.
Amen.
Everything in it. You know, to be concerned, you wives, about your husband maybe.
Right.
Whether they're reprobate or not. By the way, when somebody's void of judgment, my friend, they'll believe anything.
Yep.
That's the reason why they believe you can be a sodomite and be a Christian.
Yep.
They don't even harmonize.
Right.
They don't even go together.
Right.
By the way, you'll be forgiven, I believe, of any sin. But I'll tell you one thing, you won't want to be a practicer of sin anymore. And every time you do, even if you did go back to do something, you'll be convicted of it, my friend. God don't neglect His children, and He don't forget them, buddy. He'll deal with them one way or the other. Too many times, people ain't even dealt with about these things. They ain't even bothered about these things. I'm glad I am, and I'm glad I got somebody like John the Baptist. He was a man of God. He was an unusual man. If you look in Luke chapter 1, if you want to go back and read some of that. By the way, the Bible says that there's never been a man born greater, Brother Shepherd, than John the Baptist. I think that's, and when you read like in Hebrews 11, and you start up there with Abel, and hey, listen, you realize there's more people like Cain than you are like Abel?
Yep.
Hey, don't kid yourself. Cain brought a sacrifice.
Yep. Right.
By the way, God gave him even another chance. Some people, God gives chances after chances.
Yep.
Till He told him, sin lieth at the door. He didn't care. This generation, I believe, they've heard the truth so much. It seems like you said, can they be? Hey, I'm not going to draw the line myself, but you better be careful about looking at people. A lot of them just because they profess to know God. But in works they deny Him. Read the book of James. Faith without works is dead. In other words, there's got to be a product. If there ain't a product of your grace that you say that you're dwelling in, I'd be scared to death to take my next breath. We're living in a society. You can find a comfort zone outside of the truth.
Yeah,
that's right. And it can be even in a church house. Amazing Grace, we sung a while ago. How sweet the sound. When old John Newton wrote that, you know his life. By the way, I believe it meant something to him. Sometimes you need to get you a book and read about these songs, especially the scriptural ones.
Yes, sir.
You said you believe there's some that ain't scriptural. I know they are.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you something. You ought to read about how these people, where they came. And I'll tell you what, one of the greatest people that God ever used, and she didn't stand behind a pulpit, was Fanny Crosby. Practically everything she wrote, you could say amen to.
Amen.
I love it.
Yes.
I tell you what, I love to sing her songs. I memorize songs. I like to sing.
Amen.
You know why? Because Psalm 40, He brought me up.
Yeah.
Also out of a horrible pit.
Yeah.
And out of the miry clay. And set my feet upon a rock. And He established my goings. Amen. He'll establish your goings. Even the direction of your life. Here we find in this text right here. First of all, I want you to notice about this man. He had a peculiar dress about him. I said he was peculiar in the way he dressed. I mean, you know, you said this, and this was physical dress.
Right, yes it was.
I mean, you know, here he come up and in verse number 4, and the same time had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle. I mean, he stood out, but he stood out in a way that he was getting all the negative side.
Right.
Think about it. By the way people dress today, they're trying to get attention. But I want to tell you something about John. He didn't know no other way. I want you to grasp this right off the bat. This man was in the desert from the time he was born until he came, he listened to present himself and began to preach in the wilderness. That's where he dwelt, in the wilderness. He didn't dress the way he did. Hey, the Greek culture of that day, hey, listen, dressed entirely different. But you know what impresses me the most about him? About his dress? Was his spiritual dress.
Yes, sir.
By the way, you know what impresses me? There's a lot of people who have to be taught. Women have to be taught not to wear tight clothes. Strut around. I said, what do they want to strut around for? All they're causing some man to do is lust. By the way, women are going to give just as big an account. Hey, listen to God Almighty for the way they've dressed as men ever could think about in their life either. I don't think men ought to dress the way that they shouldn't dress either. I think they ought to look their best even when they come to the house of God. You don't have to wear a particularly a tie. I feel like throwing mine away most of the time. Sometimes I'd like to use it for a necktie party, but another kind of party. But I believe that his dress, hey listen, represented, my friend, what he had in his heart.
Amen.
Think about it. By the way, when people see you, spiritually, do they see Jesus Christ as your hope of glory? Do they see you that's not picked up a program from one of the cults? We dress right because God put it in our heart to dress right. You can browbeat them all you want to. You can make them, but if it ain't in their heart, my friend, you're just helping to make them a twofold child of hell, probably. I believe God's bigger than we are. I believe He can make bring conviction if people's got anything to convict. Hey, listen, you know what? One of my favorite sayings over the years of 42 years is most of them don't have a receiver. You can say anything you want to. You can talk to your black and blue in the face, but if they don't have a receiver, it's empty.
Right.
It's hollow.
Yep.
I think about his dress, but then I think about his what he ate, his diet. Man, we'd go home today. I think we're Sister Ruth and Brother Shepherd, somebody said we was going to have some food back here, and I think we're going to have grasshopper salad. And by the way, I want you to know that God said in the book of Leviticus that these locusts, hey listen, were proper to eat.
Right. Yes, sir.
You can study it. You look at it any way you want to. God said it was.
Yep.
I know some of you got an appeal probably to something sweet, so he threw that in there for you, for the sweet side of you. Locust and wild honey.
Amen.
But you know what? When I thought about it, he was peculiar. And here, peculiar about his dress. He was peculiar about his diet here. But I want to ask you something. And this is what's killing this generation. They do not have a particular, peculiar diet spiritually.
Right. Yep.
They ain't take in anything.
Yep. You're right.
And you know what? You can't handle what this world's putting out.
Amen.
Don't get mad at me. If you do, just get mad. But those things that people hold in their hands, hey, listen, everywhere you go, it's a constant flow. And I'm going to tell you something. You can say whatever you want to. And I want you to get this and understand a little bit why I'm where I'm at. I had a young man that I'd preached to for over 20 years. Not too long ago. And came and said to me, I finally got saved. He'd made a profession before. And it is so sad. He found it on Facebook. He found him a cult on Facebook. Let me ask you this. If it was your child that found a cult on Facebook, would you get rid of Facebook? If we're saying about abortion, hey, listen, when it gets real close to home, they won't be against it. By the way, if it got real close to home, would you have it?
Right.
Said there's some good. No, I'm a local church man. Any missionary that ain't a local church man, you don't need to support him.
Amen.
I don't care who he is.
Yes, sir.
Buddy, I'll tell you what, unto him be glory in the church.
Amen.
The local New Testament. By the way, those epistles that are written in the New Testament were all local New Testament churches.
Amen.
Every one of them. Every one of them were.
Amen.
By the way, I'll fight for it. But all this stuff is literally destroying the church. And you know what I'll get to it in a minute, but you know what the message was? And this was from a Baptist, independent Baptist, here in the United States. A cult. A preacher that preached, you don't have to repent to be saved. And there's more than one. It don't matter. Hey, they're a cult. Why can't anybody say amen? Buddy, that's a fact. They're a cult. And I know that ain't popular preaching because, see, the source of what he got. And I know in business and certain things you couldn't live today. I used to be in the grocery business. If they didn't have computers and they didn't have certain things today, I mean the businesses would be broke and they're about to be broken anyway. They're stealing them blind anyway. But I'm going to tell you something, my friend. I don't need the input. I've never even texted anybody. How about that? I've never even received a message. I don't need it. I've survived fine. When you see these kids doing like this all day long, everywhere you go, when I walked out the motel, there was three or four adults. All they were doing is sitting there. Hey, it's crazy. Hey, we've got an epidemic today. Hey, I'm not saying, hey, listen, there ain't some things that you need some things for, but you better be careful.
Sure, man. Yes, sir.
There's men used to preach on the television set. They don't preach on the television. They got something worse today and they won't touch it.
Yes, sir.
I can touch it.
Amen.
I ain't got one.
Amen.
Remember old W.W. Burns? You remember?
Yes, sir.
First one time when I heard him preach. And he preached he had never had a television set in all of his life and he was an old man then. That was almost hard to believe. But I believed him.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Better be careful. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. The devil is not as dumb, maybe, as you think he is. And he can paint things up. I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
In this case, I don't care if it's your dress or if it's your diet. You better be careful. I don't care if it's reading books. If you can't read your Bible and you can't study your Bible, hey, listen, my friend, with a vines and a concordance, a dictionary, hey, you don't need all that other stuff. Preachers used to have to study. Now they don't have to. Did I say something wrong? There was a day that people could add 3 plus 2. Now they got calculators. And they're dumber than stumps. I mean, they're dumber than stumps. Nobody will say anything. Hey, do you realize if you're told that 3 plus 2 is 4, 3 plus 2 is 4, 3 plus 2 is 4 long enough, you'll believe it. That's where we're at. You get a steady diet of all this garbage and rot.
Yep.
Buddy, I'm going to tell you something. I tell you what, Lot didn't have it, but he vexed his righteous soul every day. Every day. The Bible said every day by what he saw and what he heard.
Right.
You can't handle it. Neither could he.
Right.
He happened to come up at the door back there. I mean, God help. This man had one of the greatest teachers that has ever lived in Abraham, his uncle. And think about it. It didn't take him long, hey, to be devoured by Sodom.
Yep.
So then third of all, he had some particular deeds he had to do. Very peculiar about them. And you need to think about this. I mean, you know, God gave him a message. Remember that repentance has never been preached up to this point, basically. There's no repentance taught. And if you look and see the crowd that he drew, and this ought to amaze you, it was a religious crowd. A lot of them. Not all of them. And if you notice what it says in verse, he said he saw in verse 7, but he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees, he said, come to his baptism. And he said, O generation of vipers. We ain't got enough backbone today to call them anything. We can see people devouring our children or our kinfolks. And it's like hogs eating little babies or something. And people won't even say suey to them.
Right.
It bothers me.
Amen.
When I think, Brother Shepherd, how people got from one place and they got over here, Brother Hall. I start and thinking, I said, somebody wants to condemn him for being over here, and he should be.
Right.
But how in the world did he get there?
Right.
Do you realize the Pharisees were looking for the Messiah to come? Looking for an earthly king. He never, it didn't even teach that he was going to come to be. He will in time, but that ain't what was first in the progression as God presented things.
Right.
And I'm glad we live in the church age or the day of grace.
Right.
When I look at this man was out in the desert. That's where he got his education at.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
He got it away from everything else. Said, where'd you get yours? I'm going to tell you something. What I learned in a school, most of it I forgot. Intentionally. And I'm not talking, I'm talking about even Bible colleges. I don't know one fit to go to. I wouldn't send a kid to them anyway. This crowd came out there, and by the way, I want to tell you something. This crowd came out there to do nothing but to criticize him. You know, you support this ministry. You know who I get the most flack from? Is the religious crowd. They have butchered me into shreds over them stinking phones. And I can prove it. You say, what are you going to do? What I've been doing. You ain't going to shut me up. You might lock me in a room somewhere, but you ain't going to shut me up. And I got pretty good lungs. Better have some pretty thick walls. God said, cry aloud. I don't know what that means.
Amen.
He said, spare not. I don't know what that means. He said, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. I know what that means.
Amen.
He said, show my people their transgressions and my people their sins. I know what that means. I mean, I ain't worried about losing people. I tell you what, my friend, this generation better get a hold of this. You could lose a lot of people, but you better be careful about not losing God.
Right. Amen.
America's lost God.
Right.
They may have the best man in the White House that it's probably been in my day. Where's God at? I'm going to stay on the side the best I can of what's right.
Amen.
People want to call you a Calvinist. They want to call you an Armenian.
Yeah.
I'm a Bibleist.
That's right.
That's all I've ever been. I don't want to be nothing else.
Yep.
I ain't got nothing else.
That's right.
There's nothing else brought me any peace. And by the way, the message that this man had, and you think about it, and they came out, and look in verse 7 again, and in verse 5 rather, and he said, and went out to heal. It went out. Underline that in your Bible. Hey, by the way, people back then were even looking for something.
Yep.
They went out to heal. He didn't go have to hand out tracts. So that is weird, ain't it? It's real weird. They went out to heal.
Yes, sir.
But they knew something was going on. They heard about him. They heard about what he was preaching.
Right.
Of course, that brings us what he commanded and demanded. In verse number 8 and 9, bring therefore fruits meet for repentance. By the way, his message was repentance. I said his message was repentance. Spurgeon was right. Turn or burn. Said, what is repentance? Listen, I believe there's an initial repentance that every person in the day of grace has to have.
Yes, sir.
And that's the repentance of your unbelief. You can't even repent of all your sins that you've committed in the past or you're going to commit. Hey, listen, even in the future. You don't even know all that. But with that initial repentance, I'll guarantee you, you'll be repenting the rest of your days. Now, you ought to scratch your head and said, that's what I believe, but I don't see much change in anything in other people. Is God showing you, or just me, or one or two? I'm telling you, my friend. Hey, listen, if you ever get saved, hey, listen, you'll have a change of mind.
Amen.
You'll have a change of heart.
Yes,
but I want you to know this, and don't ever forget it. It'll manifest itself in a change of life.
Yes, sir, it will.
You see, the problem is this generation wants to make these little old phony professions and nothing changes.
Yep.
They join up with a program of wherever they join up at.
Yep. Right.
If they believe it at that place, not because it's in their heart, they believe it because that's what they believe.
Yep.
You ought to believe what you believe because God put it there. If God ain't able to quicken or make alive the truth of the Scriptures to you, I wouldn't give you a rip for what you got. He said, bring therefore fruit. I want to see something.
That's right.
By the way, you ought to be bothered when you see people that don't have some fruit.
Yep.
Say, so, well, I'll pray for them. Maybe they just backslid. God knows how to deal with backsliders. Anybody can get away from God. You know, when David was, when he had committed adultery, he spent all that time trying to cover his sins. Sin of murder, adultery, whatever. I mean, whatever sin you want to throw in there. There's a bunch of them. But I'll tell you one thing. He was glad when Nathan showed up. Because he got tired of trying to cover up everything. This generation spends more time trying to justify what they're doing than they do trying to get what they're doing right with God. By the way, if you're doing wrong, God's able to tell you. But God's also able to deliver you. And if you do the same thing again and again and again, and you could. But remember this, God knows your heart.
Amen.
He preached a message, the Bible said, of repentance.
Yes, he did.
He preached sin is sin. All drunkards are going to hell.
Yep.
Is that in the Bible?
Yes.
Said, well, that doesn't give a definition of drunkards. Oh, yes, it does.
Yep.
Anybody that drinks is a drunkard.
Amen.
So what do you mean a drunkard? I ain't talking about, so it may not be a sot drunk, but the first drink you take begins to take over control.
Yep.
One, two, three, it doesn't matter. One, you're a drunkard in the eyes of God. You might not be a sot drunk, and you better be glad you ain't that far down the road.
Right. Yeah.
Even he mentioned effeminates, which is the sodomite crowd. Hey, listen, if they ain't got so deep in it, hey, listen, they could get delivered and get saved.
Sure.
But when they dwelled in it and lived in it all their life, you need to read Romans, the last part, chapter 1.
Yeah.
God gave them up to a reprobate mind. If God gives you up, you are given up.
That's right.
I don't give a rip what kind of preacher you got or anybody else has. I don't care what kind of book somebody writes. I don't care what Joyce Myers or anybody else says. Max Licato, the whole stinking crowd. Said, well, I enjoy their... Yeah, I enjoy puking when I get sick, too. This is the most serious business in the world.
Yes, sir.
But he called sin, sin.
Yes, he did.
He didn't paint no pretty picture.
Amen.
And you know what? He called them a bunch of vipers.
Yep.
Do you know what about this man? You can say whatever you want. He died an unusual, peculiar death. Remember who wanted his head cut off?
Yeah.
I want to ask you something. Are you willing to die for what you believe?
Amen.
Think about it. Are you willing to die? I'm going to tell you something. You'll never die for what you believe until you die to yourself.
Yeah, buddy, that's right.
Paul said, I die daily. By the way, you say I'm a follower of Christ. I want to ask you something. Have you denied yourself?
Right.
Don't tell nobody if you hadn't. And you don't want to. Don't listen. If you're gonna follow Christ, by the way, you're gonna have to deny yourself and take up your cross.
That's right.
I don't know what your cross or your circumstances or your burden, whatever it is. I mean, that's your cross.
Right.
He said, take up the cross and follow me.
Amen.
This man died to himself, and he died to pride.
Yes, sir.
He said, I must. What does he say, Brother Shepherd?
Decrease.
Can you see him? He decreased, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
He said, I don't count.
That's right.
Amen. Is that right, Brother Hall?
Yes, sir.
You better listen. I must decrease, and he must increase.
Amen.
And by the way, the only way he's going to increase is until you get out of the way.
Right.
We need some men. We need some women. We need some young people.
Yes,
remember this. I'm not going to tell you when the Lord's coming. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe every indication. You ain't got many days to do what I preached on this morning. By the way, if you're saved, thank God you are. But I'm going to tell you something. You ought to want, if Jesus Christ is in you, that's the hope of glory. But if He's in you, my friend, the life that you now live in the flesh, you ought to want to be more like Him than you ever have been.
Amen.
You young people, ask God to help you. I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of things in life are stumbling blocks. I don't need anything in my life to be a stumbling. The world out there is bad enough. The Bible talks about the three enemies of the world, the flesh and the devil, but that flesh right there is in the middle of all of it. I thank God this morning that God showed me things in my life. And by the way, when I read in Hebrews 11 and I read about these men and women, oh, some of them women, oh, when I read about Jochebed or when I read about some of them like her, I want to crawl under, I want to go hide somewhere. Her whole household was used for God. Are you listening? I pray this morning God would help you to want to die to yourself.
Amen.
So that you can live unto Him. Amen, Brother Shepherd.